Hotline, though, on the John Gambling Show. Kevin McCullough in for John, and welcome someone who was just on my broadcast after hours just a week or so ago. He is the author of the brand new book, The War on Guns, and he is Dr. John Lott Jr., Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And John was slated to be with us in studio, but as it works out, the traffic in Manhattan has not cooperated, and he now joins us, I think, from the Fox News studios. John, welcome. You're on with Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on,
John. When you may not have any thoughts on this at all, but given that it's the top news story in the city today, when you have a top cop with kind of the legend of Bill Bratton behind him, as it relates to the gun debate, what are your thoughts as you see a great police commissioner stepping down today?
Well, I mean, surely there have been a lot of challenges that the police department here has faced, and having somebody with his record, and trust that people have in him have surely made it easier to handle it. I'm not sure I know well the people who are going to be stepping in to fill his shoes, but
sure.
They're going to have some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, your new book is out today, and you're talking about it across the board. Is there a war on guns in America right now?
I think there is, and I think it's coming from several different angles. I mean, we have Michael Bloomberg spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars, but he's spending in ways different than has been done before in the past. Before, people have pretty much focused on legislative debates. What he's done is he's spending hundreds of millions of dollars on funding research. He's spending money on training reporters on how to, in his view, properly cover the gun issue. He's spending it massively on advertising as well as the traditional legislative approach. And, he's a smart guy, and he knows that if he can go and generate massive news coverage by putting out reports, maybe he can change people's perceptions about the costs and benefits of guns. I think, if the NRA were to go and try to fund this type of research, the media wouldn't cover it at all. And yet when Bloomberg reports come out, they get thousands of news stories within, a week or two of their being released. And, part of the problem I find is just how poorly done those studies are. They can pretty much put out just about anything, and it will get news coverage. But there are other threats that are there, too. Hillary Clinton, for example, has promised that she's going to appoint justices to the Supreme Court who would reverse the Heller and McDonald Supreme Court decisions, which struck down the bans on guns in Washington, D.C. and Chicago. That would be a major change. I mean, if governments are again allowed to completely ban guns, then the question is, what is left with regard to people's Second Amendment rights?
Yeah.
And it would appear at that point there's really nothing left. And I think, those things go together, both the Bloomberg and the Hillary Clinton thing. The fact that Bloomberg is willing to, and George Soros is also putting in a lot of money, and you have large liberal foundations. I mean, I don't even know, to be honest, it's mind-boggling to me that you can spend hundreds of millions of dollars on research. But they seem to find studies that they can go and support. And so what I've tried to do in the book is just go through the types of studies, explain what's happening in terms of the debate, and then also going through the issues that I think are going to be talked a lot about during the campaign, these background checks on private transfers of guns, mass public shootings, how they compare in the United States versus other countries. I don't think people realize that mass public shootings actually occur more frequently in the rest of the world than they occur here in the United States.
Well, that's certainly not one of the narratives that people are talking about. And let me just highlight something that I think illustrates what you're dealing with. And kudos to Frank Morano for shooting me this story. But in Portland, Maine, there's a restaurateur there that has opened a restaurant, and she says that not only will she ban people if you are the owner of an AR-15, and how would she know? I don't know. You take a litmus test at the door. But she goes one step further and says she is going to ban anyone she would not welcome anyone who merely supported the idea of owning such a weapon. John Lott, if we're allowed to simply ban people from our place of business because they happen to own a gun, or they even support the idea of owning a particular style of gun, we've lost America as a whole at that point.
Look, I mean, I don't mind if she gets to choose who she wants to have as customers. I think she's misguided, and I don't think she kind of understands the different types of guns. I mean, Hillary Clinton, for example, talks about military weapons when she's referring to these. If you want to go and ban all semi-automatic guns, there at least be an argument there. There's three types of guns. There's machine guns. One pull the trigger. As long as you keep the trigger pulled, bullets will come out. Semi-automatic. One pull the trigger. One bullet comes out. It reloads. One pull the trigger. One bullet comes out. And so on. And then there's manually loaded guns where you fire a bullet and you have to physically yourself reload the chamber there. Now, none of these attacks that have occurred in the United States have involved machine guns. They involve semi-automatic guns. And the AR-15 looks like a military weapon. The key term usually is military style, where the key word is style there. But the inside guts of it are the same as any semi-automatic hunting rifle.
Right.
Fires the same bullets with the same rapidity, doing the same damage. In fact, an AR-15 is the equivalent of a hunting rifle for small animals that you would use. A lot of states won't even allow you to hunt deer with it because they're worried that the caliber is so small that you'll wound and not kill the animal, and that would be inhumane. But, you know, the thing is, if you want to go and ban all semi-automatic guns rather than just some based on how they look, you know, that would make some logical sense. I mean, we can go and argue it. I don't think they want to go, people who support banning these types of guns would want to make that type of argument because most guns sold in the United States are semi-automatic.
Well, I was about to say, we don't live in colonial times anymore. So the single shot, single load, single fire, it just doesn't exist in terms of what the average gun owner has.
Well, you know, it's interesting the way you phrase it. People don't realize this, but you actually had versions of machine guns back before the American Revolution. One gun that was developed in 1711, the so-called Puckett gun, was essentially a Gatling machine gun. And it was used, and it was a very costly weapon at the time,
sure.
But it was used in various military type of operations. So, you know, this notion that somehow we have new types of weapons that weren't available back then just isn't correct.
Final thought here, John. Texas law that has been in the works for a while has finally gone into effect, and they will become a state that features open carry on their campus, on college campuses. Now, they're for the most part a fairly open gun state anyway. And the thinking is if we're going to allow kids that are already licensed to have their guns to not be able to carry them while they're on campus, then we're in a sense disarming them. And that's the very opposite of what the Second Amendment does. Your thoughts? I've gotten into arguments with millennials here in New York City about whether or not this is they're afraid. They're said, you know, you let crazy college kids have guns, you're just going to have mass anarchy. I actually believe that crime rates are going to go down on the college campuses
right.
In Texas. Which one of us is correct?
Right. Well, what I try in the war on guns, I go through the experience that we've had in states that have had these laws. Texas is the 11th state that mandates that public universities allow people with permanent concealed handguns to carry on their campuses. There are 20 other states that leave it up to the individual schools. And none of the types of fears that these young people that you're talking to have occurred. The types of people, whether they're college age or older or others, who carry permanent concealed handguns are extremely law-abiding. These people lose their permits for any type of firearms-related violation at about one-seventh the rate that police officers are convicted of similar types of crimes.
Wow.
And, you know, it's hard to find any other group in the population that's anywhere near close to being as law-abiding as permit holders are. And so, you know, so much of the gun control debate is about what possibly might go wrong. You know, so people say, well, you don't want people to carry on campus because if there's a mass public shooting and maybe they'll shoot a bystander by accident, or maybe the police, when they arrive, they'll accidentally shoot the permit holder. Look, if you go to our website at crimeresearch.org, we have dozens of cases within just the last few years where police or prosecutors have said that permit holders have stopped mass public shootings.
It's a common phenomenon.
And yet not one case has these types of concerns that have been raised have occurred.
Yeah.
You can't point to one case where they've accidentally shot a bystander. You can't point to one case where the police, when they've arrived on the scene, have accidentally shot the permit holder. And the types of concerns that were raised in the people you were mentioning, you know, it's something possible, sure, but let's look at the data rather than just guessing about what might possibly happen.
There you go. And that's where every time I have you on, John, I always remind my listeners, that's the most important thing. What does the data actually say? Not to what irrational, hyperventilating, emotional people have to say about it. What does the data show? And the data shows something very different. The War on Guns is the name of the book, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. John Lott Jr., PhD, is the author. John, always good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you. I think this book's actually more important than my book, More Guns, Less Crime. I think I'm particularly proud of this book. Thank you.
As you should be. It looks good. It reads great. And I encourage everyone to get a copy. John Lott, thanks so much. It's
thank
AM
you.
970, a little late for our break. Get this. Be right back. It's the John Gambling Show on AM 970, The Answer.